All right, thank you, Tom. Here we go. We are going to be in the book of James, kind of a familiar passage, I'm thinking, for a lot of us, but I'm excited. This has just been on my heart. It's been something I've been thinking about a lot. It's actually something I've had to practice quite a bit, and so hopefully we can all get this together. But I want to look at James chapter 1. And I want to look at just a couple of verses there, just a couple. But before we do that, I want to try and get you to remove any distractions you might have. I know you might be in your house, you might be out in your car, but there's a lot of distractions. Try and remove some distractions, and we'll see what God does. So this there's a little bit of background I want to share before we get going. James is the half brother of Jesus. Now, can you imagine growing up with Jesus as your brother? Like every game you ever play, okay, Jesus, you win, we get it, you're the best, that's great, thanks a lot. So this is James. He had to grow up. He got all the experiences, and he writes this letter, and this letter is more of a summary of James's wisdom to Christians. And so it's not so much all this new theology, these new ideas, but James writes, and this is why I love this, he writes to get in your business and challenge the way you're living. Doesn't that make you feel good? Like, oh, bring it on. That, yes, please. That's why I got up this morning. I want somebody to get all up in my business and challenge me. But that's what James does. He does it all throughout, and it's amazing. There's so many short, challenging wisdom speeches, if you will, full of metaphors, easy to memorize one-liners in this book. And James, of course, we know, is very practical. He's very practical. That's another reason I like him. You can just understand it. It just makes sense. He's so practical. So let's read this together, and I want to read it twice. And it goes like this, James 1, starting at verse 2, consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Some translations say endurance. And then it says this in verse 4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let's read it one more time from a different translation. This is the message. It says this, consider it a sheer gift. That's mind-blowing, right? A sheer gift. Friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. So this is what I want to kind of get into with you this morning. Don't tune out. Stay with me. I'm so excited about this. Is it going to be challenging? You better believe it. You better believe it. And when it comes to trials, when it comes to hard times, when it comes to temptations, struggles, James says, you need to have joy. You need to have joy. And as Christians, when we come into these various trials, right? When we come into these temptations, we should not be surprised. We should, if you're surprised by the hard times, somebody along the way has lied to you. But we know this, right? We know this. Early Christians knew this all too well. Being a follower of Jesus is the best life, but it's not the easiest life. And James is reminding us something here. James is reminding us of something we already know. Trials are a gift. Let that sink in. Trials are a gift. Have you looked at it that way before? Trials are a gift. Thank you. This is perfect. This is just what I wanted. Trials are a gift. Trials of many kinds, in various different ways, they're good for us. And listen, I'm stepping into this knowing the obvious thing we're all going through, right? This coronavirus. I know that. I get that. I'm experiencing it like you. But that is on top of all the other stuff we were going through before this came. So I'm not trying to make light of your situation. And I don't know your situation like you know your situation. But man, some of us are going through it. Some of us are in the middle of it, and it's hard. It could be the toughest time that you've ever gone through. And then you add the virus. And then you add being stuck at home with your family, the people you love. But James says, pure joy, pure joy, pure joy. And so we know this, but isn't it hard when you're in the middle of it, when you're going through it? Like, you don't want to hear somebody say that. You know what? I know you're struggling, but listen, you need joy. I don't think that's what we want to hear, but we know it. Trials have a way of bringing out what's on the inside of us, right? Like, it's almost like our true colors come out when we start going through different things. And we all have that person, not us, of course. The second something happens that's just like kind of bad or kind of difficult, they explode. They lose their mind. And you really begin to see their true colors. And it's obvious, like, you, not us, remember, you don't have joy. It's not, I mean, you can't hide that. And so normal people do not enjoy trials. Most of us do everything possible to avoid trials, right? We like to be comfortable. James is writing to people who knew pain, he knew trials, they're losing their homes, their jobs, their security in the community. Their survival for life is a mess, and they're separated from family members. And so that's kind of a little bit of what's happening. And when I started to think about this joy, you know, that old hymn. It's not a hymn, actually. It's a kid's song. That old kid's song came to my mind, right? You know it? You got to sing it in your living room. You might already know it. But I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Thank you. Somebody did it. Yes. Yeah, we know that song, and I hope that's stuck in your head. I really do. But we got that song that reminds us four times, in case you didn't get it, joy, joy, joy. You almost like get tired of saying it. We sing it. We read it. We know it. But the question is, do we have it? Joy is what's essential. Kind of the question we've been facing. But joy is essential. And sometimes we confuse joy with being happy. Huge mistake, right? Huge mistake. Happiness is based on our circumstances. Joy is bigger. It's deeper. It's something you choose over and over and over to have. You can be happy, you can be unhappy, and still have joy. You can be sad and still have joy. You can be angry and still, you can be down. You can be just in the middle of it and still have joy. Why joy? This is so good for us, right? This is so good for us because you know, verse 3, you know that the testing produces perseverance or endurance. I like this, you know. You've said that before. You've probably said that to your kids like 32,000 times the last 5 days. You know what I mean, right? You know, I told you to do that. You know, the Christians he's writing to, they knew what trials they experienced it. And I think the same is true for us. We know the good that comes from trials. Like deep down, we know the good. You can look back in your life and say, I remember that was a hard time. But man, so much good came from it. So we do know. And you've heard it from your friends, maybe a family member. We know this. The testing or the trials, this can be seen as negative, right? But these trials, these various different things, difficulties, they have a point that whoever was being tested would come out stronger and more pure. They're not meant to make us fail. They're meant to make us stronger. This is what the testing of our faith produces. Verse 4 says, to let it finish its work so that you may be more complete, more perfect. It's a process, right? It's a process. We're not totally, I mean, I'm in here with Pastor Tom. He's not totally complete. We're not. We're not perfect. And that you probably understand this more than ever before with the people you're watching this with, right? You're like, yeah, you have things to work on. You know, I've been noticing some things that now that we've been together a lot and a lot longer than I typically would have, that you have things you need to do. And you have things we are in a process. We know this, right? Patience is hard. Thank you, Captain Obvious, for stating that. But patience is hard, but God wants to teach us. He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow in this area. And when we learn to wait on the Lord, great things will happen with our faith. You need some examples, don't you? Okay. Abraham waited 25 years. 25 years before his son came. 13 years, Joseph waited before he took the throne in Egypt. 8 years took to prepare Moses to lead for 40 years. And Jesus took 3 years to train and work with the disciples. The only way God can develop patience in our life is through trials. So we need patience to get through trials, but we need trials to help us grow our patience. Woo, that's fun, isn't it? Endurance as patience cannot come from reading a book. You know, I read that book on endurance. Oh, I think I'm good to go now. Right? Like we had a Zoom meeting last week and it was all about patience and I listened about 3 seconds. I'm good. I'm good. I got this. Every Zoom meeting I've been in, by the way, pure chaos. Like, it is crazy. Thank the Lord you can mute people. Woo! But it doesn't come from reading a book. It doesn't come from binge-watching that series on Netflix where you can just soak it all. You have to go through it. You have to have the difficulties of life. We know this. You need to trust God, obey Him. The result will be patience and character. Knowing this, we can face trials joyfully, joyfully. As God allows this testing, these trials, these challenges in our lives, He uses it for our good. Well, where'd you get that idea, Andy? Well, thank you for asking. Romans 8:28. You know that verse, right? He uses it for our good. And this is never wasted. Our difficulties, our pain, our trials, they're never wasted. When we give them and ourselves to God. I like what someone says. There's no gain in endurance without some investment in trials. I like that. It really spoke to me. And James also says many kinds various trials. That's kind of interesting, right? He doesn't have one specific thing in mind here. He's saying it's all of it. So you think about your situation. Yeah, that's probably various. It probably falls into that category. It covers a lot. And trials pretty much fall into three categories, right? There's the trials that we do to ourselves. You reap what you sow. You did that. That was dumb. Now there's consequences. You understand that. It comes from disobedience. That requires pure joy when you go through it. There's the trials and temptations and the challenges and the hard stuff that just shows up. And you're living a godly life. That involves pure joy. You have to have pure joy. And then there's just no rational, logical reason. Like, how did this, those two, you have to have pure joy. It's real joy. You can't fake it. You can't fake it. You probably learn that now when you're at home more. Husbands, maybe you're home more. Wives, maybe you're home more. You really can't hide it when you're with those people. We need to have pure joy no matter what. No matter what. What I've learned from my short life is you have to fight for your joy. This isn't something that comes natural. You don't wake up typically and you're like, I'm having joy all day. No matter what I see, no matter what, I got joy. And the song comes into your head and you start doing the dance with your kids, I got the joy, and you start rapping, you do the remix. Maybe that's just our house. But you know what I'm saying? It's not natural. You have to fight for your joy. John 10:10 reminds us that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And it says, I, that being Jesus, came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Don't let anyone, don't let anything steal your joy. You have to fight for it. Your joy comes from the Lord. Don't let a comment steal your joy. Don't let somebody who's jealous of you and the way they talk to you and treat you steal your joy. Fight for it. Protect it. Don't let social media steal your joy. That's a tough one. It seems like we're on social media like at least double now. Because what are we supposed to do? Talk to each other? But you have to fight. You have to fight for your joy. There's so many things that can steal it. Take it away. And so it's important to stay fresh with Jesus. Stay in His Word. Stay in the church and be in the community. When you stay with Him, your eyes will not be fixed on temporary things, but eternal things. Your view and perspective will begin to change. Joy will come. Joy cannot be hidden. Joy will give others a glimpse of Jesus. That's why it's essential. Listen to this. The reason your joy is essential in life, in the life of a Christian, is because it magnifies the greatness of Christ, especially in times of difficulties, especially in trials, especially in the hard, this doesn't make sense times. And James says this. He says, consider it, or count, some translations say. Consider. This means you choose joy before trials come. We had someone make us dinner this week, and it was delicious. But what happened was the person that made the dinner for us did not promote it very well. They're like, "You can eat it, but oh, it's not good." And I'm like, "Thank you for that." And our kids are hearing this, and we sat down to eat. And before we began to eat, what do you think our kids did? They're like, "I don't like it. I don't like you love this. You know you love this." But they considered before that, no, it can't possibly be good. If this person would have said, "This is the best. Like I have years of experience of cooking," it would have changed. It would have changed the way they saw it. And it was good. It was delicious. But James says, consider. You choose it before. You choose it now. It doesn't change. It doesn't leave. It's here to stay. Go back to the song, right? "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." Where? "Down in my heart to stay." Man, this song, I didn't even know how good it was till I had to look up the lyrics, but so did you. So, a couple more things. God is not the author of evil, suffering, or trials, but he has an amazing way to use them for our good. And I think what we need is a paradigm shift when it comes to thinking and looking at these trials, these hard times, these challenges we're in now and we're going to be in. I mean, we don't know. It could get harder. We got to look at them differently. I think we need to get our minds fixed on this thought. Trials are a treasure. I know it's crazy, but trials are a treasure. There's so many gifts inside for us to stretch us, to grow us, to get us out of our comfort zone, to strengthen our faith. I will say this, the past 5 years for me have been the hardest 5 years of my life. I'm not going to sugarcoat, it's been hard. But in the last 5 years, I've had more joy more joy than I've ever had. I've been closer to Jesus than I ever have. I've seen more miracles and answers to prayer. I've been stretched in ways I didn't even ask for, don't even want, but I'm so thankful for all those experiences. Has it been sad? Yeah. Has there been times when it has, like, "God, can you help me out here and help me make some sense of this?" There's been times like that. There's been times when I've been angry. I've had an occasional bad day, if you will. But over it all, joy outranks it all. Joy outranks it all. You might say, "This is great, Andy. I really, really appreciate all this. But how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we have joy? Can you help me out?" Well, I'm so glad you asked. I've got just a few things. And the first thing is this: remind yourself, right? In verse 3, you know that this is good, so you need to remind yourself. Maybe with your family, maybe with your people you're around right now. Maybe write down some things. Remind yourself how you've gone through stuff in the past and how it's been so good and how God's worked in it. Maybe remind yourself of some promises of God that you have. I'm not just going to give you all of you. Look for them. Open your Bible. Discover them. Remind yourself of how good God is. A second thing is this: check your faith. Check your faith. Because you know the testing of your faith It's a testing of your faith. And so we need to make sure our faith is okay, is good. So how is your faith? Check your faith. What have you done lately that's even required faith in God? Where are you at with God? How's your relationship? Men, I want to challenge you. Check your faith and you step up and you ask your wife, how is her faith? This is hard for everybody. It's hard for everybody. Be a man. Check your wife's faith. Make sure she's where she needs to be. Your kids, you need to see how your kids are doing with their faith. What are they experiencing? What are they feeling? How are they relating to this, watching you and how you respond and the things you put on the TV and the things you're doing on your phone? Check your faith. This is serious. And the third thing is I'm gonna steal something right from Romans 12:12. We need to be faithful in prayer. We need to be faithful in prayer. We got to be all over this. Pray continually. Again, not just for yourself, for others. This is you've got time. You've got no excuses. Now more than ever, we really need to step it up. You say you believe in Jesus. You call yourself a Christian. Prove it. Prove it. Show us. Come on, the world needs it. And the last thing is this. Come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. You might be thinking, man, I wish we had an amazing example of joy in difficult times. You think there's one? Yeah, I think there's one. Join me in Hebrews 12. We'll end with this, I promise. Like 2 minutes, this is the best part. Jesus is our ultimate example. Always. Always the best example. Check this out. Let us run with perseverance. Listen to the language here. Is it fit? Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on who? Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith, for the joy. Oh, it's like this is perfect. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne and of God. What was the joy set before him? Being with his Father. Being with his Father. He endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I want to read you the last part in the Message version. It says this. It says, when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, the long litany of hostility he plowed through. That, the ends like this, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. Get off of Instagram. Come back to Jesus. Stop watching Love is Blind. Come back to Jesus. When we put our eyes on him and realize what he's done for us, we won't grow tired. We won't grow weary. We will have the endurance we need. And we'll grow and we'll be stretched. And why is this so important? Why is this so important to come back to Jesus? Because he's where the joy is. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can trust you, count on you in any situation we find ourselves in. I pray for those whose joy is just not there, that you would begin to draw them back, soften hearts, that people would begin to fix their eyes on you. You are the one who perfects our faith. You've set such an amazing example. We thank you that we can come to your word, be encouraged by it, and make the necessary changes. God, continue to use your word to impact people. We thank you for being a God who hears us, who's crazy about us, who's not afraid of our mess, but comes to it, reaches out, and says, I got you. We thank you for being a good God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.